Pine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. May I remind you, we have, 8 days before the election? 8 days before American citizens vote and determine the destiny of America? 8 days to make a decision. In fact, I wonder how many people have not made a decision. You know, we hear this stuff on the news about undecided voters. I've not decided to. I don't believe that. I believe that within the heart and the mind of each and everyone that's listening and beyond the audience today, people have already decided how they're going to vote. But ladies and gentlemen, our nation is just a little over eight days away from the time that we determine the destiny of America. Listen, it's very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible that God sets up kings and he takes them down. Read the book of Daniel, especially the 4th and 5th chapter in the book of Daniel, and you'll find that God is the one that makes the determination. Who's king? Who's prime minister, president, or potentates, as I call it? God makes that determination. But, ladies and gentlemen, he gives us the privilege as citizens to vote. So what we have today in America, what we will have tomorrow in America, and what we will have after November the 5th in America, as to policies, procedures, and presidents, is determined by the voter. God gives us that volitional choice, that privilege to do so. And it is very, very clear in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, that God will curse a nation or bless a nation and its people based on our response to God. Deuteronomy, the 27th chapter, is the chapter of blessing, of cursings. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is God's chapter in the Bible about God's blessings. Chapter 27 begins, and Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded his people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Verse 10 says, thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, at which I command this day. And then Moses charged the people. Chapter 28 begins in verse 2, for example, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto my voice, the voice of the Lord thy God. And it goes on to talk about how God will bless a nation that honors God and God's word. So that's the choice we have, ladies and gentlemen, in this election. God gives we the people an opportunity to make a volitional choice and determine who we want to rule over us. You remember the scripture, Saul became king, and God told them, you don't need a king. I can be your king. No, we don't. We want a king like everybody else has. God reminded the people that if they select Saul, then he would make slaves out of them. He would take their property. He would tax them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They made the decision anyway. So, ladies and gentlemen, before us in about 8.5 days, the decision will be made. And the question is, how are you going to vote? We're going to talk about some of the pros and cons of this election, what it means to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, what it means to vote for Donald Trump and DJ Vance in the election. It is our choice, and God's going to give us that choice, but we need to look down the road. What does it connote? What does it mean? Where will we go with that? So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Scripture is very, very clear in John 8:31 and 32. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth of the Word of God. When we face issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do not do so based on denominational dogma, or philosophical rhetoric, or political ploys. We base our lecture, if we want to call it that. If I were in a classroom, I would call it that. We base our issue and how we stand on it based on the authority of the Word of God, what God's Word says. And God's Word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty long time, forever. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in an era today where truth is not embraced, truth is not appreciated, truth is not sought after. It goes back to the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we're in a society today. You look at Tim Walz and some of the things he said. You look at Kamala Harris and the things that she said, how they have found lie after lie after lie. So truth matters. Regardless of the side of the fence you're on, regardless of the side of the aisle that you're on, a lie is still a lie. And we need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is not to be bifurcated. Although, headline I look at and quote just about every day, headline says, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, do you believe there's an absolute truth? Do you believe truth can be modulated, changed, modified, based on the audience you speak to, or based on the culture that you're speaking to, or based on the era in which you're living? This is the reason the Bible never needs updating, never needs change, never needs changing, never needs any modification. But this article goes on to say that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say, as this headline says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. So you have to get back to the question, the fundamental foundational question, what is truth? Webster's dictionary says, "Truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact." So, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at facts, we're looking at truth. You can't modulate them, modify them, and change it and call it truth. Go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. As Christians in particular, conservatives, we need to seek the truth. Won't find it on CNN, the Communist Network News. In fact, we'll talk about it a little later in the broadcast, but the Madison Square Garden rally with Donald Trump. The socialist Marxist media have tried to modulate change and minusculize the event that took place last day. I watched the entire rally, and ladies and gentlemen, it was something to behold. There were things that we need to grasp and understand what was said, and we'll talk about that further with our guest in a moment on this broadcast today. But may I say to you, there's a need for us to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Truth matters. By the way, that quote from Jan Hus, even when he was being burned at the stake, his last words, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." And may I say to you today, truth shall prevail. There may be the little windy road, the switchbacks, as I call it, as you go, as you travel I-40 around the mountains up in Tennessee and North Carolina. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth is something that must be traced, followed, adhered to, and embraced in our society today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of the Tools for Time, 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Right after a brief monologue, I will introduce to you our very special guest today. We'll be talking about a variety of things that I believe is vital for us to understand in this election cycle. We'll talk about what if Kamala Harris is elected? What do we have as a people? What if Donald Trump is elected? What do we have as a people, as a nation? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that this election can be stolen? Is it possible for it to be stolen, as I believe it was in 2020? And that's a hush-hush thing that among Democrats, they like to say is a lie. Among Republicans, they're silent and afraid to take a stand and say that the election was stolen. We'll talk about a couple, two or three of those things during the course of this broadcast after we introduce our very special guest today. But ladies and gentlemen, going back to my premise, and I believe the Bible is as solid today as it was when it was written. I believe it is available today, and I believe that we need to understand what God's Word says in relationship to nations that turned their back on God, and how God is going to honor the nations that serve Him and honor Him and His Word. The cursings and the blessings. So just how do we want our nation to be viewed? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God removes kings and God sets them up. God is the one that is able to do so, and yet we have the privilege, the volitional choice to make a decision on how we are going to vote based on what kind of nation we want to live in. God allows we, the citizens, to make that determination. God promises blessings if we honor Him and serve Him and obey Him. He promises cursings for those nations that turn their back on God. It is my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that the Harris-Biden administration has purposefully spit in the face of God. You remember in one of the rallies that Cacklin Kamala was having, most of them were set up in a farce with planted people with planned questions that they could not deviate from those questions. But where two young men, I understand they were Bible college students, I don't know what college or where, but one stood and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. The other stood up and says, Jesus Christ is our King. And Kamala Harris refuted them, slapped them in the face, philosophically speaking, and said, I believe you're in the wrong rally. The little rally that you need to be at is down the street someplace. That is a good indication, ladies and gentlemen, where Kamala Harris and Tim Walz stands in relationship to moral, ethical, spiritual things, in relationship to how they view God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe today America's morals, ethics, and values are at the very lowest level in American history. Now, you can counter that. You can disagree with that. I want you to pinpoint some things that will counter what I just said. That is that I believe that our morals, ethics, and values are at the lowest level in all of American history. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, many have already gone to the polls. If you already voted, love to hear from you. You don't have to tell us who you are, name, address, and phone number. Don't need that. Love to hear from you today. If you voted, how you voted, why you voted the way you voted. Did you vote for Kamala Harris? Love to have callers tell me that you voted for Kamala Harris. I'd like to know the essence of why, what you expect, and why you felt you needed to vote for Kamala Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, as you go to the polls and vote, I believe we must ask ourselves some questions. I'm going to ask several questions, setting the stage for where we're going in our dialogue and discussion with a special guest today on our broadcast on Let's Face the Issues. Some of the questions we need to ask is, what kind of America do you want? What kind of America do we want as a people? Do you want a continuation of the murder by way of abortion? Then vote for Kamala Harris. She's for abortion right up to birth. Do you want an America with no borders? Then vote Kamala Harris. We have no borders today. Absolutely. We might say that we do, but philosophically we do not have a border. Do you want to continue the butchering of healthy body parts of young people, young men and young women in our nation today? Then vote for Kamala Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to have the forced LGBTQ agenda in our schools, brainwashing our kids? If that is what you want, vote for Kamala Harris. Do you want the continued, how would you say, escalation of the censorship via social media in America? Vote for Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris believes that the government ought to have the say-so on what is misinformation and disinformation as the government may view it. If that's what you're looking for, total censorship by the government, vote for Kamala Harris. Do you want a government that forces the citizens to submit? Vote to Kamala Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. I'll touch on this, then we'll introduce our guest today. This article says, now even the leftists on CNN calling out Tim Walz for his lies. Tim Walz now away from his duties in Minnesota, guys, Minnesota governor, roaming the country, campaigning for Kamala Harris, vice presidential nominee, has been documented as having a long history of lying about his military service, his rank, about the pro-abortion ideology and those related laws, about his own family's experience with IVF and January the 6th, about more. I've gotten so much that even the left-leaning, it's gotten so much that the left-leaning CNN is now calling Tim Walz out for lying. I've got a full article on the dates, times, places, and what's said, and CNN calling him out on that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have today as our very special guest. We're grateful to have our special guest today, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the Florida House of Representatives. Congressman Hill, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us on this broadcast.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always my honor and a pleasure.
Well, I'm always thankful for you taking the time. We honor you and respect your position and your insight and your thoughts. And the purpose of the broadcast today is to illumine some of the hearts and the minds of those that are voting, that will go out to vote, still need to vote. And I, in a joking fashion, say we need to vote like Democrats soon and often. But in reality, I'm just simply saying we need to make sure that we vote. Congressman Hill, I'm sure you watched the President Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden. I don't know. I think it was right at three and a half hours total, somewhere in that neighborhood. I watched the whole rally. I was impressed by it. Tell me, what are some of the takeaways that you have from that rally that you'd like to articulate for our listeners?
Well, I guess what struck me, Dr. Youngblood, was, first of all, it was sold out. Madison Square Garden, it was packed. And they said that there were many people who were tens of thousands outside of Madison Square Garden wanting to get in. And then next, I would say, and this is something I've noticed at a lot of President Trump's rallies, is the diversity of both the attendees and the people who are speaking there. And it's not like the diversity, equity, and inclusion that you see coming from the left. These are people who are conservatives, who love their country, and want to see President Trump get elected again so that he can put our nation back on the right track. Everyone knows it's off the rails right now. And so what impressed me was, one, as I said, the diversity you see in the crowd, and then also with the speakers who came forward and spoke. I like the idea that he had Melania Trump speak, And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is probably the first rally that she has actually spoken at, I think. But she did an excellent job introducing, speaking, and then introducing her husband. And as I understand it, it left a lot of people very emotional as she gave a heartfelt talking about her husband and about where this nation needs to go.
I was impressed by that, and you talked about Congressman Hill, that Madison Square Garden was packed. I believe the maximum number is about 20,000, and they had almost that number. I think the official number, as I understand it, was about 19,800 and something. But the impressive thing to me was you had lined up out on the street, both sides of the streets, some 5 to 10 people deep up and down both sides of the streets. I'm told, according to the two different articles I read on that, upward of 100,000 plus people outside wanting to get in really were standing there. And some, according to one of the articles, had spent the night on the sidewalk in order to make sure that they were near the front door, at least able to get in for rally time on Sunday afternoon. So I was very thankful for that, and I was impressed by each and every one of the speakers and what Donald Trump said. Was there anything that you find in his address that you would find noxious or some way out of order or that should not have been said? And I'm asking that question because the Communist Network News and some of the tributaries thereof were challenging some of the things he said, almost like a fact checker again, denying some of the things that he said. What are some of the things that were the positive? If you could do a takeaway of three major points that Trump said that needs to be done, that he will do going into office, what are those top three that you see?
Well, one I saw that he talked about taxes again, and what tax he was going to remove. And I'll have to admit, Dr. Youngblood, it kind of escapes my mind right now, but it was something that was going to be huge. And what I like about Trump speaking is that he talks about leaving money in the pockets of Americans by removing these taxes. And on the other hand, we hear Kamala over and over again saying, yes, we're going to raise taxes. Who would vote for that? That doesn't make any sense at all to have more of your money taken away from you. And she tries to give the tell the lie that he's only going to give these tax breaks to billionaires and to his close friends. When you talk about removing tax on tips, those aren't billionaires. When you talk about removing taxes on Social Security, that's not billionaires. Those are everyday people that we see. Now, of course, CNN, the Communist News Network, they are going to criticize anything that comes from the right, that comes from Republicans. But the only thing that I think they could have legitimately criticized was one of the speakers. I forget his name at this time. He was Puerto Rican, and he was there trying to tell a couple of jokes, and a number of them just bombed. I mean, they didn't go across well at all. And the audience let him know that. I mean, they booed a couple of times or groaned, however you want to say it. But here's the thing. A number of my friends said, how could he get away with that? Don't they vet the speeches before they get up there and talk? The answer to that is no, Dr. Youngblood. Mm-hmm. I opened for Trump three times in 2016, once in Panama City and twice in Pensacola. Each time, they only give you a time limit. They'll say you have 5 minutes, you have 8 minutes, you have 10 minutes. That's it. They don't ask you, what are you going to say? They don't say, let us see your speech at all. So that is how this one comedian was able to get off some very poor jokes. But at the same time, he said a couple of funny ones. And so what I like about that is, here is Trump showing that they are for free speech. Get up there and say what you want. They didn't try to censor what he was going to say before you said it. And here's Kamala, on the other hand, saying that we need to stop this disinformation, misinformation, and to stop these people from saying these things on social media and elsewhere. The Democrats are all about censoring free speech.
Absolutely. One of the things, if I can tuck this in and then we'll take our next caller, one of the things that was so profound, in my opinion, was when Trump touched on the fact, and he discussed the fact that the taxation of the citizens started, I've forgotten, did you say 1911, 1913, 1920, early the 1900s, you might know the exact date.
And 1913.
Yes, and before that, we filled the coffers for the federal government by tariffs. And now he's talking about going back to a tariff system and remove all taxation. I think that's one of the most profound statements or things that Donald Trump could have said. And if any human being hearing that feels that somehow, some way, they need to vote, after hearing that, they need to vote for Kamala Harris, there's something wrong with their intelligence, is all that I can say. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I tell you what, my wife and I, we went to vote, and not saying what I voted for, but I tell you this, that I'm not going to vote for a liar. And number one, not voting for Obama for a fourth term. And which is
true. Exactly. You're exactly right. Well, Kenneth, one of the things that I'm concerned about, and I'm prayerful that our listeners will understand the importance of this election and the profoundness of it for the future of our children, our grandchildren. And one of the things, Kenneth, I'll give you this statement and see what your take is on that before we let you go. But Kamala Harris is saying now over and over again that she has values that's never changed, and she has faith, and the thing that she never states is, what is the faith about? What is the faith in? It's the NFL legend Tony Dungy that uses the Bible to fact check Kamala Harris and her claim that she has faith. He said, faith? What faith are you talking about? And it's a pretty long article where NFL legend Tony Dungy, the coach, asking and challenging Kamala Harris by saying that she's got faith. It's evident that she does not have faith. If you're talking about faith in God, biblical faith, faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it's an impossibility to push and promulgate and insist on the cutting off of healthy body parts. It's an impossibility to have faith in God and serving the Lord Jesus Christ and still want to promulgate and push abortions. That is simply antithetical to anything that's called biblical faith. And so, if we don't go any further than that, it's an impossibility, in my opinion, for a Christian to vote for Kamala Harris and think that somehow, some way, they're still saved. What do you say to that, Kenneth, quickly?
I tell you what, I wasn't going to vote for a liar. She's a liar. And she goes to she's going to be every... how can I say it? Everybody from India to Black Americans, it's crazy. She's crazy. And if anybody cannot see that, they are just lost in a storm. Like I think you said before about, trying to find a golf ball in high weeds, you are gone. That's all I have to say about it.
Which talking with Congressman Hill today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry we had a brief technology interruption, but we're going to come back right after the top of the hour news and continue to talk with Congressman Hill about the election, what's taking place, and some of the things we'll discuss is Amendment 3 and 4. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
CRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.